This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. On behalf of all of us here at WCNO, we wish you and your loved ones a very happy Thanksgiving.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Exodus 19. This is the verse we use to show that the Jewish folks back here in Exodus, having come out of Egypt and being taken to the mountain where the commandments of God were given, that they pridefully thought that they could obey God on their own. And so the key in this verse is that all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken," and I underline this part, "we will do." So there's their testimony. Whatever God tells us to do, we'll do it. Don't worry about it. And that, of course, is when any time a human being thinks he can do what God wants him to do without God's help, he's living in arrogance. It's like going into a field and there's this large 1,000-pound boulder rock there, and somebody tells you to lift that up and get it out of the field. It's impossible. You can't move it. It's too heavy for you. But if God would help you to move it, if God himself would send angels to lift it for you, then it could be moved. So apart from God, you can't do it, but with God, you can do all things. So, but here, they didn't figure that in yet. They were going to learn that lesson through failure. But at first, they were very gung-ho, and they said, no, whatever the God says, we'll do it. And so Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. But of course, they fell short of doing God's will, as all of us have fallen short in doing his will. Psalm 14, verse 2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any who understood, who sought after God. And they have all turned aside. They have altogether become corrupt. There is none that does good, not even one. So that's the report card on the children of Israel, having taken on the task of obeying God and pleasing God, living a life that's approved of God. And this is their report card. God looked down and evaluated how far they've come, and they have gone nowhere. Not one of them had done good, not even one. Thus, the law that they had received really magnified their weaknesses. When God gave them laws, he gave them rules to obey. All it did was prove that they were weaker. It just showed off their weakness. And that's what Romans 3:19 tells us, the Apostle Paul tells us. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, who put themselves under the law and try to live up to God's standards, try to live up to God's rules, and try to do the impossible, try to move the stone out of the field themselves without any help. And that in the reason that the law was given, he says here, is that every mouth may be stopped so that people will shut up. Shut up about what? Shut up about Exodus, back with the first verse we read. Stop saying, "We will do it." Stop saying, "I can do that." I got to do a work for God. I've heard that when in my younger years as a Christian, a lot of us guys used to say that. We're going to do a great work for God. Then we'd fail terribly. We'd be a mess. And never did a great work for God. Just embarrassed him, if anything. But every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may become guilty before God. That's the purpose of all those rules. Trying to live up to them, trying to keep them, trying to do things without God's assistance, without God's strength, without God's motivation, without God's inspiration, without the Holy Spirit inside you. Just you as a person trying to do what God wants you to do is nothing. You're just going to face failure. And that is the purpose of it. The purpose is so that you can face failure and see failure and understand that you are weak. It's a hard thing for people to acknowledge about themselves that they're weak. It's very difficult. People like to be self-sufficient, self-confident. We like to say we can do it. But through failure, we learn humility. We learn to humbly go to God and say, God, I can't do it. I can't live the life that you've outlined for us in the New Testament. The Christian way of life, I can't do that unless there is another strength, another power, another force within me that causes me to be able to do it. But me on my own, there's no way I can do it. I can't do a thing. And that's humility. Humility is acknowledging just how weak you are when it comes to being able to live up to the standards of a holy God. And not trying to play church or get religious and get pious and get hyper spiritual and try to pretend that I'm living up to those things when in fact I'm failing. So he says in Galatians 3:24, therefore the law was our teacher. All those laws, all those standards, all those rules, that was our teacher to bring us to Christ. When we realized we couldn't do it on our own, then we would go to the foot of the cross. Then we would go to Jesus Christ and cry out and say, I can't do it without you. I can't, there's no way I'm ever going to live up to the standards to be good enough to ever go to heaven unless you do something, Lord. It's got to be you. I can't do it. Verse 25 in that chapter says this, but after faith has come, in other words, after we have turned from works to faith, stop trying to do things to become approved of God and accepted by God, and realize that that acceptance and that approval comes just by putting your trust in Christ. When faith has come, we are no longer under the teacher or under the law. Now, we know that God wants to fellowship with people. God has always wanted to fellowship with people from Adam to the Exodus to the right through to the New Testament. God desires to fellowship with the objects of his love. Back in the garden, God walked with Adam, remember, every day. God spent time just walking and talking with Adam. He was fellowshipping with him. In the book of Exodus, Exodus 25:8, he told Moses and told the people of Israel, let us therefore let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. I want to be with them. So build the tabernacle and then later build a temple. And I want to be with them. I want to live where they're living. I want to interact with them. I want to fellowship with them because they are the objects of my love. I created them to love them. My creation is something I created so that I can love them. I love them, Jeremiah 31:3, with an everlasting love, with an unconditional love, with a love that never quits. I love them. I want to be with them. I created them, and they are the objects of my love. That is why when they needed to be redeemed, God so loved the world, he sent Jesus. Because I love them. And it's nothing to do with them being lovable either. It has to do with me as Almighty God making a choice within myself to love them even when they're at their worst state, even when they're the most unlovable. I love them and will not quit loving them. I love them with an everlasting love. Therefore, in the New Testament, we see that God's plan is to set apart a people for himself, a people to fellowship with, a people to express his love to, people to be recipients of his love. And when God loves us, he gives us grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, the demonstration of his love. So God's plan is to set a people apart for himself through the cross. He does that. In Titus 2:14 says he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. He's going to set apart and purify for himself a special group of people, the objects of his love, those he redeems, those he's working in and through, those he's doing a great work upon, and they are going to be a special people for him. And he does it all the way through the history of the New Testament. He did it in the Old Testament. God has a special group of people. Heaven will be filled with innumerable numbers of those people. They're special people. They're unique people. They are the objects of his love. He'll have them for eternity. And you are part of that. You are part of that great host of people that will live for eternity as the objects of God's love in heaven. Whatever heaven consists of, whatever we do there, whatever goes on there, you'll be the object of his intensified love forever, without end. So what happens down here on earth is first those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are set apart into Christ. Those that believe upon Christ are set apart into Christ permanently, irrevocably. They are forever in him. Nothing can remove them from Christ. They have come to him by faith. They believed upon him. They were set apart unto him, and they are placed in him. And that is an inseparable relationship with him. As he says, no one can pluck you out of my Father's hand. An inseparable relationship. They are complete in him. In Colossians 2:10, they are perfect in him. In Hebrews 10:14, and they cannot be accused or condemned for anything. In Romans 8:1, those that are in Christ Jesus, they enjoy the sphere of no condemnation. They are complete, they are perfect, they are permanently joined to Christ. They are one spirit with his spirit. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, they are completely connected to him forever and ever. And that's the first thing he does. That happens on day one. The day you prayed the sinner's prayer, the day you put your faith in him, the day that you knew that you touched God and you were saved.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.